I call this executive committee meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I would request a motion for approval of the agenda. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed. Approval of the minutes of January the 23rd, 2014. Moved and seconded. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Certification of executive session of March 5th, 2014. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed. Quarterly meeting with the Writers Advisory Council. Carol.
My first question is, how much time do we have?
What you need.
You sure? Because you all have a...
We have a 1 o'clock Finance Committee meeting, but we're not going to make that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thank you for this time to talk with you. And I just want to begin by having the new members, whom you probably don't know, just introduce themselves. So we'll start with Karen Lynch.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for the wonderful sandwiches. They were delicious. I am Karen Lynch. I've been a member on the RAC for a little over a year. Last year, I served as the chair of the Operations and Communications Subcommittee. This year, I'm a member of the Budget and Finance Committee, and I was voted in by my colleagues as the vice chair representing Maryland. I am a representative of Prince George's County, Maryland, and thank you.
Candace.
Hi, my name is Candace Walsh. I've been a member of the RAC for a little over 2 years now. I am the vice chair for the District of Columbia, and pretty much I mainly focus a lot on bus issues because I take the bus every single day. So that's been my main focus.
Okay. And you know Barbara Hermanson from Alexandria and me, who is the chair and live in D.C. but am an at-large appointee. What we want to do is get down to the your ideas about our proposed committees and work plans. And as you've said on several occasions, it's not your job to tell us what our work plan or priority should be, but at the same time, we certainly want to include anything that you're particularly interested in us looking at this year, and certainly don't want to put in anything that we would spend most of our time wrestling with you about its worth. So with that in mind, I hope you have a chance to, you know, maybe just to have a quick look at the things that we are proposing and give us some ideas that we can take back to the committees, because we intend to start. As a matter of fact, we are already moving ahead on some of these.
I think it's interesting. I appreciate and would be interested in your feedback and recommendations about the impact on the opening of the Silver Line from a writer's perspective. It's easy to get fixated on new service and miss what other side impacts there may be. And I think that's one of the things that fits within the charter of the RAC. And the other I agree with wholeheartedly is the 16th Street bus corridor issues. Fastest growing bus corridor in the region and with significant congestion problems. So.
Okay.
I like them both.
Good. Any other comments or thoughts that anybody has?
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
The one that I, in particular, is the suggestion of working on fair simplification. In the coming year, we'll begin the testing of the new electronic payment system. Not clear when we'll be ready to say we'll go to the full implementation, but it'd be good to get reaction to that and get ideas forward to the next, when we have the new capability.
If I can make comment, and because one of the things that occurred to me is that with the new fair payment, we probably also have the capability to be even more complex than we are today. And so I think, well, no, I'm sure we'll have the capability for it to be more complex. And so there's always the decision of, yeah, but where do we really want it to be? And yeah.
As I read your document, I thought about the budget adoption meeting that we had in finance, where we talked about working more with the region in terms of fair payment, the fares with in terms of folks with low income and accessibility. And I know that you serve with the two bodies work well together. I'll put it that way. In terms of looking at that. And so I think as you look at the fare system, you think broadly, and the opportunity that we have to bring more folks to the table from around the region, particularly in the human service delivery system, to try and look at fares in a way that, as we, one, set our overall structure, that it can be as reflective as possible in terms of acknowledging the challenges that others have, but also being able to maximize our cost to the system by being able to be a system that delivers the services in a way that we can effectively move people to the fixed rail system as easily as possible. So it's really, I think, an opportunity to use both of the advisories in terms of looking at this, because I think you're point about the simplification becomes simplification for everybody, and for some folks it's a little bit deeper than where we might go with just a payment as we exist today.
So, I also want to commend you on partnering with the AAC and the WMATA staff on the bus stop accessibility program. I think the more hands, the better to have us come up with a comprehensive, not only inventory, but set of solutions. And the customer service committee standards process is one of those steps. And we have miles and miles and miles to go. But there's so many benefits to the system about accessible bus stops.
Hi,
Mr. Nichols.
Thank you. Thank you. Just first off, thank you for your work. I really appreciate it. Nice to meet both of our new members. I think the accessibility issues, I think, are of keen interest, not to the board, obviously, to me personally. I think that we have, it's an Achilles heel, and it's one thing when it's front page news, and it is when we do the budgets and we do the fare increases, but there's a strong commitment to follow through on the public pledges that we made, and that maintaining focus after the commitment, I think, is important, and I think your help and continued engagement in maintaining that focus, I think, is crucial not only for us here but also for the stakeholders, because it has to be, as we've all talked about, not just the board but other places, that it's not a transit problem, it's a quality of life problem that has to be a shared responsibility throughout the jurisdiction. It can't be solved simply at the fare box, because there's not enough money to simply address it that way, not that comes through the turnstile. But that doesn't diminish the importance of the issue. So how do we continue to make sure that we gather enough intelligence around the issue and enough engagement, that's going to be a continuous effort for all of us. And it's bus stops, it's accessibility, it's a whole lot of other strategies that have not that we don't have yet in place. So that one is crucial importance. The second one, and Kathy touched on it a bit, and I raised it as a question and a comment during the presentation of the research today, which I thought was excellent, a huge move forward in terms of the quality of the data that we're gathering and the multiple ways it can be used to enhance our governance and the quality, but particularly around not just what the overall view of our service is, but how do disparate communities perceive and experience our service geographically in terms of different economic groups, different ethnicities that may be geographically or otherwise constrained, and in particular those riders who are not choice riders, the people who have no alternative but to use the service, otherwise their lives almost become extinguished. So do we differentiate between how they feel about the service versus those who have a choice? And, you know, our business says we've got to cater to the people who have choice, but we know that's not how we operate our business. We cater to everyone because everyone's our customer. By the same token, some people are captive and some have a choice. So are we evenly distributing our service regardless of whether I'm choice or captive? That's our intent. I think it's important that we be able to evidence that and learn about it. And if we discover, as we're always discovering, that we may not be hitting that in all areas, you know, we want to make sure we respond to it. I know our intent is to make sure that we gather that data, but we have to keep pushing hard to make sure that we're getting it.
Yes, Mr. Downey. Again, building on Alvin's comment, and it was a great presentation today about how we are trying to learn in every way we can what our customers and our region are thinking. That's not that we're saying we don't value your input.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we could be helpful is if you could have more access to what is being collected and help us interpret it, because data by itself is not particularly good or bad, but it's what do you learn from it, what do you do with it. And I certainly would value some of your response to what we think we're hearing, and do you think it's correct, and then more importantly, what jointly can we recommend to do about it?
I think you've been listening in on our meetings. Because what you're saying completely dovetails with what we've been talking about. There are two things that I really want to bring up. One is, one of the RAC members said when we had gone out and said, what should we talk about at this meeting? Well, I want to know why the board didn't take more of our suggestions in our budget recommendation letter. And my point of view from having been to several of the meetings leading up to that was that planning for the 2015 budget probably began in 2013. So what we would really like to do is to get in on the ground floor when discussions are being had about what's coming down the pike, so that we can really be useful, more useful, I should say, in being a part of this joint venture. And the same goes to staff. And I would say I wholeheartedly agree. It was a really excellent and a very informative presentation this morning. And I think it would be very helpful as we try to flesh out what we're really going to do this year, that we sort of do it, we do it in partnership with WMATA staff. I know, frankly, that there have been abuses in the past where RAC members perhaps have used their membership on the RAC to try to collect data from WMATA for their own use, you know. But I think that we've turned the corner on that. And I think that what we would really like to do is to have some direct communication with WMATA staff as we're in the thinking stage, because it'll save us time and it'll save, you know, mutual resources. So that's one of the things that we really want to be able to do. And, you know, not have it so that we have 20 members calling you and asking you, well, I'd like to know this, that, and the other, but to have some sort of some sort of structured approach where we can get information that we don't know that you might have that will help us either do or decide not to do something. So did you want to say something about
that?
Yes.
I wanted to echo the value that I would place on that. We know as RAC members, we're not here to represent our own personal views, just strictly. The more we can understand the needs and the wishes and the wants of the ridership as a whole, especially from our own jurisdictions, but as a whole, the better job we can do. And I think of what are the experiences I've had that have done the most to educate me. And yes, we had a listening session that was successful in Alexandria. And yes, I've seen presentations from the staff members, and they've been very helpful. But it's also the one-on-one discussions, that I've had with Jim Hamry at a bus hearing, talking about and hearing him talk about this wealth of information on anything I bring up that's remotely related to buses, and just personal conversations. And so when we know, we had a wonderful presentation, for instance, last year from Mr. Bryce and, forgive me, I forgot the other name, but with the customer service group. So what we heard there was kind of the composite of thousands and thousands of customers who have taken the time to write in. And it was incredibly educational. And so, and hearing about this, the bus, I don't know, were they bus pop-ups at the stations? And the number of people that were, where information was given, it's amazing. And it could do so much more than we can do just standing at our own bus stops chatting with other people we know or going to a community meeting. So it's incredibly valuable. And we would love to partner with you as you do them or as you report on them so that the knowledge that you gain, we share with you so we are coming from the same direction.
If I could just say a word about that, because that struck me too. And then I'll let Lynn expand, but and certainly having your own listening sessions is, let's just take that for an example. We really appreciate you working together with us. Having them, is something that you could do, but, we have this huge outreach effort right now where we have people in Virginia and in the city and all over talking about the Silver Line, more outreach. So one thing that struck me was, why not just have the Writers Advisory Council be a part of that as well? Perhaps have a table or something with us, and if you wanted to talk to people or if you wanted to do, because we're out there and it doesn't seem like doubling, it would be much more effective to do it that way. But I'll let Lynn talk about, because I just recently saw a schedule, and we have probably five or six such opportunities coming up very soon.
So, as you know, one of the important learnings that we've had is that people want you to come to them. They don't want you to ask them to come to you, right?
Right.
So you got to make it easy. And where they are is at soccer games and baseball games and at the Taste of Reston and the Reston 50-Year Founders Celebration and the festival that's coming up in Largo. I mean, we have a list of everything that's happening in the communities. And we found that people are really happy to come to the table and talk to us about metro service and a whole range of issues. And so we do have an integrated schedule. So everybody from, if it's the bus organization that's going out to do a study, if it's the marketing department that's going out to hand out Silver Line materials, if it's the Title VI outreach group that's staffing a public participation plan, we're taking advantage of all of those community events, and we're there. We have that schedule. We do it several months out. The five or six events that Barbara just mentioned are just in April alone. It's nights and weekends, so hopefully it, for people who work full-time, it allows you to go out into the communities at a time when you can engage with residents and other commuters. And we'd be happy to share that. We also share it with the board so that, anyone can come and participate for any amount of time that they like. And, frankly, we get a lot of people at the table, and just last weekend at the Reston Founders Celebration, Representative Conley came and talked to us. And so you get people who aren't even riders with us yet who want to ask you questions so that they can think about becoming riders. So it's an opportunity to talk to just everyone. We'd welcome your participation.
Thank you.
That sounds wonderful to me. I think we would get a lot of good participation. You know, rather, you know, there are hundreds of us, but there are 21, and you know, you can cover a lot of events because it's not only educational. It just sounds like a fun time.
It is fun. It is actually fun, and we do, you know, 5K races and bike events and all kinds of things. People are really out to have a great day, so it's a good time to engage them. I will have my staff send the schedule to John, who can share it with your group. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that's an excellent idea because not only will be out there, but you'll be out there with that rider's hat on.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people realize,
the more people realize that there are several vehicles in which they can get information into this, the better, and that you're doing your work and they're doing theirs. But it collaboratively puts the faces out there together, really, I think, is a really great opportunity. Yeah.
And the only thing I want to add is that I don't think we should be afraid to use some of the other tools that are available, such as social media or web tools as well, using some of the web meeting applications as well to engage with riders. So I know we've talked about this a little bit among the REC, but I think that Metro as well should look into those too, because it's convenient as well. It's another great way to reach people.
And I wanted, Candace, if you will, to say a little about the 16th Street corridor, because we see that the Triple P Committee, I hate the title, but that's what it's called, Program, Project, and Planning. What we think, I guess we have kind of a little bit of an internal tension, because what I think some of us would like to do is to see that expand to be part of the community because, you know, and I want Candace to sort of address her thoughts about how we could handle how we could add some value to the 16th Street Priority Bus Corridor situation.
Okay. Well, I know before we started this meeting, we briefly talked about 16th Street Bus Corridor and the fact that it's truly expanded over the past, I would say, 2 to 3 years since I've moved into that area. And I think basically, you have to involve the community when you're talking about the issues because they ride on the bus every single day. They see where the problem spots are. They see what the issues are. For example, there's one huge issue that most likely would solve a lot of the problems first thing in the morning during rush hour, that if mainly like the city planner and the people from whoever's in charge of the buses got together, might resolve a huge issue. But it seems like you have to get a number of different agencies and people together just to be on the ground and watch it and look at it during the morning rush. And I think that would, for example, basically the lights not going together at the same time right there at Columbia Road. If you handled something as small as that, that would alleviate a lot of the congestion. But you have to sort of be on the ground in the morning to see that that's a hot spot and that's an issue spot. And so I don't know. And I know that we also talked about priority bus lanes on 16th Street, and I think that would also help in the morning just because there's so many people that walk, whether it's from like 18th Street to 16th Street, 14th Street to 16th Street. So there's just a lot of people converging on 16th Street in the morning because it actually moves faster than a lot of the other bus routes. And so, for example, I live on 14th Street. I'll walk sometimes to 16th Street because it moves faster than 14th Street. And so there are a lot of other corridors that, you know, I guess could be looked at and problems could be resolved there, but I know that 16th Street is one of the biggest issues right now. And so if we start there, then we can most likely use the data from 16th Street to help out like 14th Street and other Florida Avenue and things like that to make the morning commute a lot better for people. So they're just some small issues that if people were on the ground maybe in the morning and just watch the traffic pattern and watch the flow of traffic that could help alleviate the problems.
I guess the last item, and I don't know if, you know, everybody is asking, is an update on the Silver Line. I don't know if you want to.
Well,
I'm asking too.
If we knew, we'd tell you.
Okay.
We know as much as you do because what we know we read in the Washington Post.
Okay. I think that's pretty much
a train is coming
sometime, hopefully this summer.
Well, I'll tell you what one of the issues that we had is that it looks like the two trains running will be the opening of the Silver Line and the possible ramping up of the Silver Spring Transit Center. So is Metro prepared to handle both those sort of in a parallel mode is one of the questions that some of us wanted to know.
I think we're more than ready to start running the Silver Line.
Okay.
And anything that the staging of buses around the Silver Spring area is so awkward and requires a lot of manpower about monitoring and marshaling and all of that, anything will be an improvement over the status quo about opening that facility. But that's another one where I know what I read in the paper.
And I think the part on the Silver Line, there's an awful lot of work that's been doing in order to get the community ready, to mm-hmm. get the riders ready. And I have to give the Lynn's group a real plug in terms of working and collaborating and talking to all the folks that are going to be involved in that. So it's the operational part has to be done that says, hey, service is in place, and it's safe and reliable. And we've been kind of poised to try and get people ready to do what they need to do. The buses are going to be deployed. Everything's going to be out in place to get people connected to the Silver Line. And I almost thought we were in it today because there were two Orange Line trains on opposite parallel tracks, and you could actually walk from one to the other to get on. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, what does this mean? I'll find that out today. I get a chance to ask the question why, but people were jumping from one train to the other trying to figure out which would leave first.
And also I see on your list the possible Red Line closure.
Yes, I mean, there had been some talk about that, and I just wondered where that was or
still doing you're talking
the waterproofing.
Right.
Yeah.
Still talking
about the work is still going on, looking for the optimum way to resolve the issues. And before anything moves forward to do that, there will be a lot of consultation with the riders. What the opportunity, how it can be managed with the minimum. We're hopeful that it will not be as serious as it might be. I've told other people I was
a couple of years ago, and I went to ride the Red Line. They said it's closed for the summer.
Wow.
I hope we don't have to do that.
Yeah. But there's a lot of international review. Engineering staff is looking at a number of innovations and solutions around the world about potential technologies about this particular fix. So it's a work in progress. It's not urgent, and there's not a time frame for it yet that I know of.
Important, but not urgent.
Right, it's important, but it's not falling down.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is on the list is the FDA audit, and I just want to commend, as somebody was here on Monday and, you know, heard the presentation, read the report, et cetera, I just want to personally say that I commend WMATA for shining the light on itself, and I think that showing the progress in public, as you showed the deficiencies, will be a healthy thing for WMATA, and I hope that continues to happen.
That's why we did it.
Thank you for attending. It was good to see you.
Well, we led the way with safety. Our commitment was transparency and professionalism, and I think Mr. Downey, as chair of the safety committee, has held us to that consistently, and that's our standard going forward about the administration and management side.
Well, and it's part of the nature of the discussion that we have with you and with all of our stakeholders. You deserve that level of transparency and discussions, both the bright light when things look good and things don't look as good, and that's the way we make things better. So thanks for your feedback. when it's good, we appreciate it, and when it's not good, we appreciate it. And we know that you don't hesitate to do that either. So thank you very much. Really do appreciate it.
That's it for us.
Thank you. I can't tell you how much we appreciate the work you do. Sometimes it goes unheralded. I think I have an understanding of how many volunteer hours are wrapped up in the work that you do, and we deeply appreciate it because we value the connection to our customers.
You're here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
This one's adjourned.